Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and a very good afternoon to you, although it's not yet afternoon. Okay, a very good morning. Let's start that all again. A good morning to you. It is just 10 minutes past 11 on this beautiful, lovely, bright and sunny Thursday morning, and great to be coming to you live from the Chai FM studios here. It's Rabbi Michael Katz. This is Judaism 101.9, and great to be in your company yet again. And we're talking about things Jewish, and things Jewish have a lot to say about this coming week. We've got so much on the agenda in the build-up to the Chag, the festival of Shavuot, so much that happened and needs to be spoken about in the background, in the history, which we always try to look at for the days and the week ahead. We're coming up to a very special Shabbat. The Shabbat before Shavuot is, Shabbat is always special, but the Shabbos before Shavuot is increased in its specialness, because it has the idea of starting of a whole new book of the Torah. It is the Shabbos on which we bless the new month, and it's not just any month, it's the month in which the Torah itself was given, which became the real foundation of Am Yisrael, of the Jewish people. Our strength and our survival and everything about Am Yisrael, about the Jewish people, really came to fruition in this month. Once we got out of Egypt and we were taken to Mount Sinai, it was at Mount Sinai that we received the Torah. That, of course, is what Shavuot itself celebrates, and that's the time that we became God's representatives, so to speak, on earth, partnering with Hashem, partnering with God in the creation of the world, in the continued creation of the world, as we know that Torah and its mitzvot enable us to do. So, what a powerful, power-packed week up ahead. And in a week from now, we'll be sitting here on Erev Shavuot, on the eve of Shavuot, that big chag that is coming up. And there's so much to speak about when it comes to that chag, that we will begin some of it today, and hopefully be back with you next week to be able to elaborate a little bit more and speak about some of the deeper insights, perhaps. So let's get started by looking at things that happened in the past on these days. Today's the 27th day of Iyar, and the 27th is always a special date, because we talk about the 27th as being the Rosh HaTevot, or the Gematria of Zach. Zach meaning pure. It is pure clarity, pureness of this special day and what happened in the past on this day. Well, if we go back to about 135 before the Common Era, it was during the Greek rule of the land of Israel that the Greeks would hang idolatrous wreaths of roses on the doorways of the courtyards of stores, effectively rendering them forbidden for usage by the Jews. Now, we've all thought about and seen rosaries and these things. Did you know that its foundation was that the Greeks would hang them on the doorways of the courtyards and stores, and in that way made the turf forbidden to Jews? They would also write heretical statements on the foreheads of Jews, on their oxen and their donkeys, so that they would be forced to sell them and would not own any animals for plowing when the Hasmonaim, the Hasmoneans, overthrew the Greek rule, which, of course, with Yehuda Maccabee and the story of Hanukkah, they abolished these insidious practices, and that day was commemorated as a holiday in Talmudic times. And that's what this date is. The 27th of Iyar is a day on which these idolatrous, horrible, insidious practices of ousting Jews and of outing them and so on in Greek times was put to flight, and the whole story changed. 27th, so a day of Zach, of clarity and of purity and of a return to some sanity. That all happened way back then. Now, it is also, if we go forward to one day, 28th of Iyar is the day of the passing of Shmuel HaNavi, Samuel the prophet, and this was in 877 before the Common Era. He was one of the most important figures of Jewish history, described by our sages as equivalent to Moshe and Aaron combined. Shmuel HaNavi, Samuel the prophet, was the last of the Shoftim, of the judges, who led the Jewish people in the four centuries between the passing of Yeshua and the establishment of the kings of the monarchy. He was also the author of the biblical books of Judges and Shmuel and Ruth, the book of Ruth, which we're going to read and think about on Shavuot, written by Shmuel HaNavi, and this was his yahrzeit in 877 before the Common Era. So he was born in 931 before the Common Era, and the famous story that we read about on Rosh Hashanah, that after his barren mother Hannah prayed for a child in Shiloh, in the tabernacle, in the temple, she promised to dedicate him to the temple, and at age two, she brought him to Shiloh, and he was raised by Eli, the Kohen Gadol, and shortly thereafter, Shmuel had his first prophetic communication, and he eventually succeeded his master Eli as the leader of the Jewish people. After 10 years under his guidance, the people approached him with a request to appoint a king. Shmuel disapproved of their request at first, but then eventually, in 879, before the Common Era, he anointed the first king, Shaul HaMelech, King Saul. And when King Saul disobeyed God during the War of Amalek, it was Shmuel HaNavi who proclaimed David, King David, the legitimate king in Shaul's stead. Shortly thereafter, he passed away in his birthplace in Ramah, in the hills of Yehuda, on the 28th day of Iyar in 2884, which is 877 before the Common Era. We've also got to know that the 28th of Iyar, which is tomorrow, was the day on which, in 1962, Adolf Eichmann was hanged at Ramle prison in Israel. This was following his trial and conviction for his crimes against the Jewish people. Of course, in the Holocaust, he was a key party member in implementing Hitler's infamous Final Solution. And he managed to transport 400,000 Jews to the gas chambers in less than 5 weeks in 1944. Of course, the whole story about his capture his return to Israel and the standing of trial is an incredible story. Books been written just about that. The most incredible story of Adolf Eichmann, who I believe at that stage, I think they made the special rule of an ability to execute somebody in Israel for crimes against humanity, for genocide. And in fact, if we think about it, I think that's where the phrase genocide was actually coined. And isn't it ironic how the haters and anti-Semites have turned it around and utilize it in its completely incorrect framing today. Now, in 1967, it was on the 28th of Iyar that Yerushalayim was liberated. Yom Yerushalayim, the old city of Yerushalayim, the Temple Mount, liberated during the 1967 Six-Day War, and it is marked in Israel as Jerusalem Day, Yom Yerushalayim.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Here with Rabbi Michael Katz, we are on Judaism 101.9 on Chai FM, and it's a pleasure to be in your company, and we're talking about these dates, this time of year, and let's move on to the fact that the liberation of Hebron happened in 1967 on the 29th of Iyar. Now that's going to be Shabbos, and this coming Shabbos, a celebration of the liberation of Hebron, because one day after the liberation of Eastern Yerushalayim in the course of the Six-Day War, Hebron was also liberated. And now Jordan had taken control of Hebron along with the rest of the region after the 1948 Declaration of Independence, and Israelis were not allowed to enter the holy city. The Jewish quarter was destroyed, Jewish cemeteries desecrated, 58 shuls were destroyed, and an animal pen was built on the ruins of the patriarch Avram's synagogue. So this all was turned around 1967 on these days. If we move forward to the first of Sivan, which is going to be Rosh Chodesh, of course, is on Sunday. So on Sunday is the anniversary of the floods receding in the time of Noah in 2105 before the Common Era, the 158 days of incessant rain, that all contributed to the great flood. The raging waters calmed and began to subside at 1 cubit every 4 days. 1 cubit every 4 days is the length of the arm of a regular person from elbow to a hand is a cubit. It went down that every 4 days. And this all happened on this day, 1st of Sivan in 2105 before the Common Era. Now, more importantly than that, perhaps in relevance to Har Sinai, to Mount Sinai, is the day that the Jewish people actually gathered there. They got there 1313 before the Common Era, which was the 1st of Sivan in the year 2448. That was 6 weeks after we had quit Egypt. We arrived at Mount Sinai and camped at the foot of the mountain. As we say, Ki'ish Echad Belev Echad, like one man with one heart, preparation for the receiving of the Torah. But on this day, Moshe didn't say anything to them because of their exhaustion from the journey. And then, if we go forward to the 2nd of Sivan, it's marked in the Jewish calendar as Yom HaMeyuchas, the Day of Distinction, is the 2nd of Sivan. It's going to be on Monday, because it was then that Hashem told Moshe, when Moshe ascended Mount Sinai for the first time, to tell the people, "You shall be my chosen treasure from amongst all of the nations, for all the earth is mine. You will be my kingdom of priests and a holy nation." That all happened, remember, just before we received the Torah. Hashem chose us. Chose us not because we were better or because we were nicer or because of any of that, but because we had said, "Na'aseh v'nishma," whatever God wants to give us, we will take, and with open arms, and of course, take his Torah, put it into practice, be those representatives here on earth, and become partners with God in the plan of the building of this world in which we live. We've also got to remember that it was on the 2nd of Sivan that Israel in 1967, remember, things were happening there day by day. It was an incredible, incredible historic and miraculous victory, and it was on this day that that Israel captured the Golan Heights, which became contentious and became part of so much of Jewish history from then on. The famous Golan Heights, without which it was felt that the Syrians had absolute dominance over the north of Israel. The north of Israel, of course, still featuring as a flashpoint in Israel, but the Golan Heights, the Syrian army was deployed in the strong fortifications along the Golan Heights. And on the fifth day of the war, the Israeli army broke through the Syrian front, and facing very difficult conditions, they scaled the steep and rugged heights, and clearing the way of mines, bulldozers came in and leveled the route for the tanks on the rocky face. And more than 24 hours of really heavy fighting, the Syrian deployment collapsed, and the forces of Syria fled in retreat, and Israel captured the Golan Heights. On the 3rd of Sivan, which is going to be Tuesday, this was the day on which the Jews began their preparation for the Torah in earnest. Hashem said, set boundaries. So this is the beginning of what is known as the Shloshes Yemei Agbola, the 3 days of boundaries of preparation. Beware of ascending the mountain or touching its edge. This was a day of the 3 days of Agbola, as we said, leading to the giving of the Torah, and so much of our history which revolves around that. And then on the 4th of Sivan, 2 days before the revelation, Hashem wrote down the first 68 chapters of the Torah, from Bereishis to the giving of the Torah in Exodus. That was actually recorded by Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Exodus Rashi, in chapter 24, verse 4, where it talks about all of that, and quite an amazing thing. Now, if we think about all of these things, we've got this concept and this idea of it being a time of capture, of success, and of total renewal. And of course, great, great emphasis on these days being times of getting ready for the greatest event of history, which was the giving of the Torah, and of course the greatest event of history, which we hope to happen soon, the coming of Mashiach. So it's a time of us preparing, getting ourselves ready. Yes, that's what we've been doing throughout the Sfirat HaOmer, this period of time between Pesach and Shavuot, where we work on each dimension of our souls, each part, and within those parts, all the parts of the parts are looked at, are scrutinized, or fixed or rectified or polished or made clear and shining and sparkling, so that we can turn to face Mount Sinai once again with like one man with one heart and truly committed to the Matan Torateinu. Once again, you know, we've mentioned it many times on this show here, you know, the bracha that we make on the giving of the learning of Torah is we say Notein HaTorah. Yeah, every bar mitzvah boy knows that from when he makes the brachot, when he's called up to the Torah for his first aliyah. Notein HaTorah, you learn it in grade one, if you learned any Hebrew, it's Notein HaTorah is in the present tense. It's not Natan HaTorah. It wasn't that God gave us the Torah at Mount Sinai all those years ago. It was that Hashem continues and continually is giving us the Torah. This is something current. This is something that goes on all the time. We are given the Torah. We've got to receive that Torah, and we've got to be ready to receive that Torah. We've got to be pure in our intention and in our hearts and in our souls and in our commitment and in our fulfillment of our duties and in our loyalty to what it is that Hashem wants from us. This is all the experience of this period of time and the build-up to Shavuot, to Shavuot. Shavuot, we know, is really, everybody knows that Shavua is a week and Shavuot, therefore, is weeks. And this is the festival of weeks because of the weeks that we have to count between Pesach and Shavuot. That is, of course, the meaning of the name Shavuot, but it is also Shavuot. It is a time of oaths and commitments. Hashem made this commitment to us at Mount Sinai, and we made a commitment to Him. And the fulfillment of these commitments are intertwined one with the other. This was the moment of the marriage vows between God and the Jewish people, and all done over the document, the ketubah of the Torah itself. This was our document of commitment. And within the Torah, there was Hashem's commitment to us, and of course, our commitment to Him. And we need to ensure that we are prepared, that we are ready, that we are committed, that we are loyal, that we are in there and ready to do what it is that we need to do as Am Yisrael, as the Jewish people, to make sure that this world is completed and that it is fixed and that it is mended and that it is able to stand up to the scrutiny that we know that it will be coming at us from all sides. But we as Am Yisrael have to stand up to that scrutiny. It's not only about the fun and the games and the enjoyment and the privileges and so on. It's about the commitment, the loyalty, and the responsibility that we have as the Jewish people to keep the Torah, to keep the mitzvot, and to do them on a regular basis. This is what we undertook, this is what we need to do, and this is what we need to be ready for. Now, everybody knows that on Shavuot there is the tradition to eat dairy foods, milchika foods. Why? Well, on the holiday of Shavuot, there are so many reasons. I'll give you a few. On the holiday of Shavuot, a two-loaf bread offering was brought in the Beit HaMikdash in the temple. And to commemorate this, we eat two meals on Shavuot day after we've received the Torah, first a dairy meal, and then after a break, we eat the traditional holiday meat meal. We should not dispense with the concept of the meat meal, of a Yom Tov meal. The milk meal should be extra, not instead of. Now, with the giving of the Torah also, the Jews became obligated to observe kashrut in its strictest sense. The Torah was given on Shabbos, so no cattle could be slaughtered, no meat could be obtained, and we couldn't use utensils that needed to be kashered. And so on that day, they ate dairy, milchika foods. And then also, the Torah is likened to nourishing milk. We know when a baby is born, it lives on milk. And the Hebrew word for milk is chalav. When the numerical value of each of these letters in the word chalav is added together, that is chalav, chet is 8, lamed is 30, and bet is 2, we have 30 plus 8 plus 2, the total is 40. And 40 is the number of days that Moshe spent on Mount Sinai when receiving the Torah. So there is a hint to that in the concept of chalav, of the milk foods that we eat on Shavuot. Now, are you looking to reach an engaged, loyal audience? There is no better place to do it than right here on Chai FM.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and welcome back. We're exploring reasons why we eat dairy on Shavuot. And this is Rabbi Michael Katz here with you, and we're on Judaism 101.9. So we discussed a few reasons why we eat dairy on Shavuot. Here's another one. When Moshe ascended Mount Sinai, the angels urged Hashem, God, to reconsider his decision to give his most precious Torah to earthly beings. They said, "Bestow your majesty upon the heavens. What is this man that you should remember him? The son of man that you should be mindful of him?" One of the reasons why the angels' request went unheeded is because of the Jews' meticulous adherence to the laws of the Torah, including the kosher laws. Not so the angels, because we record, and this is a little cynical, I suppose, that while they were visiting Avraham Avinu, they consumed butter, milk, together with meat. On Shavuot, we therefore eat dairy products, then take a break before we eat meat in order to demonstrate our adherence to the kashrut laws and therefore to Hashem's law per se as well. Of course, there is the idea of the eating of milk foods, that it's like mother's milk, where it contains all the nutrients, everything that we have and that we need in order to survive, contained in the Torah. We need nothing else. We need that spiritual energy. We need that guidance. We need that rhythm. We need those mitzvot. We need it all. It is the Torah that keeps us in a bigger way rather than us keeping it. And therefore, it is the very substance of our lives, the very food that makes us tick and that makes us the people that we are. And this is the idea of the milk foods on Shavuot. Now, there are a number of other things that happen on Shavuot, and one of them is that the shuls usually are decorated on Shavuot with flowers and greenery. Now, why is this? Well, number one, there were green pastures in the desert. The main, most famous reason that Hashem warned the Jews at Mount Sinai that the sheep and the cattle shall not graze facing the mountain. Now, we know that the Torah was given in the desert, and it means that a miracle had to have occurred, turning that area into fertile land with an abundance of greenery. And in commemoration of this miracle, became the custom to celebrate the holiday of Shavuot with greenery. Now, there is something else, and that it says, if we expound on the verse, his cheeks are as a bed of spices, as banks of sweet herbs. His lips are lilies dripping with flowing myrrh. The Talmud explains that from each and every utterance of the Ten Commandments that emerged from the mouth of the Holy One, blessed be He, the entire world was filled with fragrant spices. So accordingly, on Shavuot, we decorate with fragrant flowers and greenery in memory of that. It is also the judgment of the trees. The Mishnah states that on the holiday of Shavuot, Hashem judges the earth and determines the abundance of fruit of the trees for the coming year. Therefore, the trees were symbolically placed in shuls to remind us to pray for the trees and their fruits. We also think about the basket of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moses was born on the seventh day of the month of Adar. 3 months later, when his mother was no longer able to hide him from the Egyptians, she put him in a basket and placed the basket amongst the reeds. The branches and the leaves and so on in the next to the river, whereupon he was found by Bitya, the daughter of Paro, and miraculously saved. And so 3 months from the 7th of Adar is the 7th of Sivan, second day of Shavuot. And so in commemoration, we put grass and reeds and so on around in the shul. Now, we also have the concept of a rose amongst the thorns. Tzvi Elimelech Spira, known as the Bnei Yisachar, explains the custom of beautifying the holiday with flowers as follows. He said, we elaborate on the verse, as a rose amongst the thorns, so my beloved is amongst the daughters. The Midrash tells us the story of a king who had an orchard planted with beautiful trees. He entrusted it to a tenant who went away. After a time, the king returned, found it full of thorns, so he brought woodcutters to cut it all down. Ever looking closely at the thorns, he noticed among them a single rose. He smelt it, and the spirits calmed down. The king said, the whole orchard shall be saved because of this flower. In a similar manner, the whole world was created only for the sake of the Torah. After 26 generations, the Holy One, blessed be He, looked closely at His world to ascertain what it had yielded and found it lacking. Looking closely, He saw a single rose, the Jewish nation. And when He gave it the Ten Commandments, the Jewish people proclaimed, "We will do it and we will hear." His spirits were calmed, and Hashem said, "The orchard shall be saved on account of the flower. For the sake of the Torah and of Israel, the world will be saved."
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Yes, this is Rabbi Michael Katz here with you. It is Judaism 101.9, and we're winding down, and it just remains for me to wish you a great rest of the week. Now think about it as being the week that really prepares us for Matan Torateinu, that really gets us ready for the giving of the Torah. So much happened during this week, and so much that we can look forward to. And so as we look at this coming Shabbat, the great Shabbat of Shabbat Mevarchim Chodesh Nisan, Chodesh Sivan, sorry, we're going into the third month, the month of Zman Matan Torateinu. It is power-packed, it is important, and it's going to be great for us all to be there and to be present. And yes, of course, you should be making your Shavuot plans, and remember that on Shavuot, the main thing, of course, is to hear the reading of the Ten Commandments in Shul on the first day of Shavuot. That's Friday a week. Be there, don't miss it. Look forward to being back with you same time, same place next week for another exciting episode of Judaism 101.9. And I want to wish you a great rest of the week, a great Shabbat up ahead, and a Chodesh Tov. Take care and see you soon.